Ohio football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown, and he throws an awesome block so his teammate can score instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you another chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scorer scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. Everyone knows the most exciting part of football is the score. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you have a chance to keep the fun going even after the first player crosses the goal line. Plus, you can enjoy second chance all season long. Place a first TD scorer wager today. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? If you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. Choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at chumbacasino.com.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey everyone, welcome back to The Promised Land with me, Scott Saunders, talking all things Manchester United. It's a big weekend to come. We've had an international break, the last one until March, thankfully. But club football is back and Man United are back with what seems like the beginning of the new era we thought we were getting in the summer. Ruben Amorim is in charge as head coach. He has done the press and I'm recording a little bit later than I usually would on a Friday because I wanted to hear what he was going to say. He's done obviously, club media, about a week ago, he has sat down with around 50 reporters at his first press conference at the club. There's an embargoed version of that going out just before the game. I think it releases 10:30 Saturday night, UK time. And he's also sat down with Gary Neville as well in an interview that Sky Sports have released. So I've spent my time in the last hour watching and picking through everything that he said and the things that stand out to me. And that's what I wanted to come and discuss on the podcast today for you, because it's an exciting time. And one of the things he did say was how he understands that fans feel a little bit excited, but also I've seen this before. And I feel like he's really, one of the things I'll maybe talk about in this episode is that he really seems to get it. He's got his finger on the pulse in a sense. And I think what he said in that bit with Gary Neville, if you haven't seen it, by the way, I definitely advise you do watch it or listen to it if you can. He speaks openly about his philosophy and plan and lots of stuff, which I'll talk about on the show today. But I think he was on the pulse with that, you know, because it maybe encapsulates a lot of the feelings that fans have. You know, we have seen new managers brought in previously. We have seen them have a good start. We've then seen them maybe win a trophy or two and then think, oh, now's the time to build. And then it's inevitably gone wrong. And he understands that there's a feeling of excitement there, but also a little bit of trepidation because, hey, we've seen this go wrong many times before. And hey, it might go wrong again this time. So he's not under no illusions that, like, he's not saying he's going to fix everything, but he is very much aware of what the club has been through over the past few years. And he's very, very confident and relaxed about what he's going to bring to the club itself. And there's a new team in place. The people above him, his bosses, are new as well. And that's why I say this is the first real appointment of that era. We obviously had the decision made in the summer over Erik ten Hag, and that has come and gone pretty quickly. But this is the real beginning of the new era for me and a different way of doing things. And I'm going to discuss why I think that is the case on today's show. If you haven't subscribed already, just finding me for the first time, please subscribe to the channel on YouTube, The Promised Land, a Manchester United podcast. Follow me on social media as well, at @_ScottSaunders on X, Instagram, TikTok, and I'm on Blue Sky as well. I'll put a link in the description of this episode for you. You can follow me there. And also, this is on Apple and Spotify as well. That's what I was meaning to say. Please subscribe on audio if you've not done so already, so you can get me there and on YouTube. And I'll be back after the Ipswich game as well to talk about how that goes. And look, I think we're getting something new. We are. I don't think there's two ways about it. No two ways about it. We are getting something new. If it looks awful to start with, it might do, but at least we're going to get something new. And everything that people have criticized United for over the past few years in terms of identity and not knowing what kind of team they are or if they're a counter-attacking team, you ain't getting that. I don't think you're going to be getting that this time around. We're going to see a different style of play from the word go. We're going to see back threes. We're going to see back fives. We're going to see wing backs. He's basically confirmed everything. And obviously there was some doubt as to whether he would come in and change everything straight away. But this is why I waited, because I wanted to hear if he was definitely going to do it his way. And he's definitely going to do it his way. So that's something to get excited about. He said, we will try to do it our way. And he also mentioned the Ineos way as well. So this is Ruben Amorim, ex-Ineos, doing it their way. And this is the first time, over the course of the season, this is going to be the first few months where we get to see something really, really different. And hopefully it just doesn't revert to everything that we've seen in the past. But I don't think that will be the case this time. I think this will be probably some pain moments we'll have to go through in order to get to a new point. And hey, that's exciting, you know? So like, if you can't be excited at somebody who's come in with a cracking smile, like nice, you know, you just got a great, I don't want to use the word aura, don't want to use it, but the people are leveling that at him. He's got aura. He's got a good aura and a confidence, like a self-assuredness that you kind of just gravitate to. He's quite smooth in his talking. He's very firm. He's very confident. He knows exactly what has brought him to the party in the first place. And why should he change it? And this is one of the other things that he said in his pre-match. Not even rambles. Everything's quite pointed and clever. And he knows exactly what he's going to be bringing to the table. And he now, this season, is about finding which players will come along for the ride with him and what weaknesses the team has that they can address at a later point. And hopefully this is the first sign that things will change here. But what I'm going to talk about on the show today is just some levels of excitement. What can we expect here? Look at fixing and the cultural aspect as well, because I think that is a big thing that I've taken out of this. The culture, it comes in over a lot of areas. Like, obviously, there's been a lot of controversy over the past week or so about Casemiro and Marcus Rashford going to the US to watch basketball. And there's been Gary Neville, who interviewed Ruben Amorim, talking about how that's not acceptable. In my day, we wouldn't have done that. This, all this kind of stuff. And the way he answered that question was perfect. Absolutely perfect. And I think the cultural aspect is something that has to shift. And as much as Erik ten Hag talked about culture previously, he wasn't the guy that Ineos wanted. I think that's pretty clear. This is the guy that Ineos want. And they're going to hang their hat on him and they're going to back him. It seems like they're all singing off the same hymn sheet. And fingers crossed, we will start to see progression. Fingers crossed. Now, obviously, he's got to go and pick up results along the way, and losing 1-0 at Ipswich Town against Kieran McKenna in his first game will not be optimal, but it's about the bigger picture. It's about what actually changes and bringing about fundamental change to get United out of the rut that they've been in for 11 or 12 years. It'll be 12 years by the end of this season. You know, they're not going to win the league this year, so it's going to be 12 years without winning the league title. But as I said on the last show, like, Amorim's not going to plan too far ahead. He said this in himself. He said, look, I'm not focusing on anything past the next game. I don't really have any targets for this season, but we know that we have to win. And like I said on the last time I recorded, there's a top four place to go and try and get in. And there's also the Europa League, which United are one of the favorites for. And winning a trophy in your first season, not a bad start. Especially if it's a European trophy. And that is another entry, obviously, into the Champions League as well. But, you know, he's got his first game at Old Trafford on Thursday against Victoria Pilsen, I think. And is it Victoria Pilsen? I think it is. But obviously the first game is Ipswich Town away in the Premier League as well. And look, let's just try and see if things can turn around pretty quickly. He's mentioned that there's excitement levels in training and even acknowledged that there could be maybe a little bit of a new manager bounce or a new head coach bounce feeling around the training ground, this kind of thing, that players might be willing to show their better self, you know, because it's a new guy coming in, they want to impress him. But we've always had a kind of regression to the mean. But things are different. I feel like things are different. And that feedback that Amorim's going to be giving to the people who are above him about this player doesn't fit what I want to do, this player's... Look, data. He mentioned data so many times, and I will talk about that later on. But they have the physical data on all of these players. Sprints, ground covered, all of this kind of thing is going to play into how United move forward. And they have, you know, we know United have been behind on data for so long. And that's where clubs like Brighton, clubs like Liverpool went hard on data, and that's why they rose to the top. That's so important nowadays. And it feels like United are playing catch up in that aspect, but they're actually doing it. They're actually looking at bringing that into their decision-making process about which players they keep, which players they sign, and this kind of thing. And look, I'm gonna run through the show with maybe some grab quotes of what he said. I'm paraphrasing because I took some quick notes, but you know, the points are obviously there to be made, and I'll talk about them because I think a lot of what he said, not just about the team, but about the club itself, I've hit the nail on the head over the last, regarding like where they've failed over the last few years. And one of the first things that stood out to me was that he's followed the club. He's actually followed the club quite closely. Now, I don't know whether that's because he's been a fan of the club for a long time, but he seems to know the history quite well. He's followed the previous managers. He's followed the amount of success that they've had. Obviously, he's done an internship with Jose Mourinho. It's funny to see that picture going around. I remember that picture. If you haven't seen it already, it's pretty easy to find on social media of him and Jose Mourinho in like 2018. You know, he did an internship with the club and now he's back as the head coach. Never then, when I saw that picture, did I think that this would be the outcome and that he would be in charge of the team. But there you go. He has proven himself and deserves the opportunity here. And look, he's mentioned, he's talked about Jose Mourinho, he's talked about Louis van Gaal, he's talked about Ollie, he's talked about Erik ten Hag, and said essentially that he doesn't really give a damn what has happened under them to make them fail because he's going to do it his own way. And it's a refreshing take, but he also has talked about things like something that I've talked about on this podcast so often, how this team can turn out and be god awful in the first half of a game or something like that. And then they turn up for 30 minutes in the second half and they look like a completely different team. And then they regress back to what they were doing in the first half. He's even noticed that and spoke about it publicly in his first appearances, publicly talking about Manchester United in his job as Manchester United head coach. So he seems to know the history. He's obviously done the club media with MUTV last week. Kind of got a feeling for Old Trafford and the history of the club. I'm sure he's known a fair bit of it already, but obviously getting up close and personal with that and feeling the atmosphere around Old Trafford and seeing the stadium, seeing how big it is, especially in the night. You know, it seems like he understands what's necessary and he understands the history, understands the expectations, but he understands as well that this isn't the same team that Jose Mourinho took over. This is going to require something a bit different. And one of the quotes, I'm paraphrasing, but he has said is he feels like he's the right guy at the right time. He said that in reference to when Jose Mourinho came in to Chelsea in 2004 and said, did the famous I'm the special one speech and saw, you know, the likes of Frank Lampard buy in. Funny story, actually. I actually saw Frank Lampard yesterday while I was out on a walk, which was quite interesting. But yeah, it's a different era, and obviously there's a different era of players, different generation of players. And the things that Mourinho did back then with Chelsea won't necessarily work this time. So he feels like he is his own man. He's completely different, and he's maybe not as proven either, but he feels like he is the right guy at the right time. And look, I think United could use somebody like this with the charisma, the aura that I've talked about there, the gravitas that he has. Seems to be a really good communicator as well. And if he's talking this well publicly and talking this freshly and honestly publicly, he's going to be doing that better, probably, inside Carrington. So if he's getting through to the players with the clarity of speech and the ideas that he wants to get across on the training pitch, then fingers crossed. I think that is something that obviously was a big downfall of the club and the way that the team was running with the last manager as well. But this is a big, big upgrade for me. The way that he communicates. And look, the fact that he seems to have followed what's gone wrong for United in the recent past and over the last few years is quite important. He's very well researched, it seems. He seems like he's watched a lot of United matches and maybe felt the same things that we felt. And what's he going to do to fix it? Well, what's he going to do to fix it? He will be bringing in the stuff that has worked for him previously. So he's been very keen to stress that the system, the back three, the back five, the wing backs, doesn't necessarily matter because what he wants is buy-in. And of course, that's the first thing. there's some quotes that I'm just going to bring up for you here that I'm trying to find now. He actually hinted in his interview with Gary Neville that Ahmad might be a wing back, as has been suggested previously. But he did say that maybe at the beginning we'll have to use fullbacks in the wing back positions because you can't really teach wingers how to defend that quickly. So maybe that's an indicator of what we're going to see on Sunday. Who knows? But he's nailed these. He really has. I'm going to grab some quotes from him now. He was asked about his non-negotiables, and he said, look, I know every trick in the book, but these players need to think about the team. And the moment they stop thinking about the team and think individually, I will be the first one to have a word with them, but I'll defend them in public. That's essentially what he's saying. And the individuality is something that, you know, Bruno Fernandes and Marcus Rashford, I'm not picking on people here, but those guys in particular, it seems like it in the past few years have maybe had that burden of having to carry United on their shoulders. So maybe they feel like they have to make something happen.
Ohio football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown, and he throws an awesome block so his teammate can score instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you another chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scorer scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. Everyone knows the most exciting part of football is the score. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you have a chance to keep the fun going even after the first player crosses the goal line. Plus, you can enjoy second chance all season long. Place a first TD scorer wager today. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today's actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico. How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today's actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico.
We lose the ball too often or too fast, he said. We have to be better at running back and we have to be good in the details. It's the small things. That is one of the big things that I took from him. We lose the ball too often too fast. How, I even tweeted it just after the last game that I watched United play, or one of the last games. I think it might have been the Chelsea game when Andre Onana gets the ball or receives it or makes a save, and then the TV goes to a replay, and by the time the replay is finished, the opposition have the ball because United can't keep it. That is so frustrating, and one of the first things he would be looking to do is to rein in the carelessness and to help the players understand where to be, what positions to be in, and how to retain possession, and how to make it easier on the team to retain possession by where they occupy, what spaces they occupy on the pitch. So losing the ball too often and too fast, having a breather on the ball, the best teams in the world nowadays keep the ball the best. They play with possession. Obviously, if you're making the opposition run around and chase the ball, it's probably easier for you. But it is easier for you rather than having to chase it all the time and expend that energy. But he mentioned we have to be better at running back and we have to be good in the details as well. So it doesn't seem like he's going to make wholesale changes in the personnel just yet. And I think a lot of these players will fit into this team moving forward and will fit into this team with what Amorim wants to do. But he mentioned the small things. Just knowing what to do and where to be at a certain time and knowing what space to occupy, as I've just mentioned there, is probably where he's going to put a lot of his energy to start with. Keeping the ball is really, really important. And the fitness issue as well, which I'll touch on a little bit later in the show because it ties into the data section. But the fitness is so important and so crucial to succeeding in a team that presses high, because that is what we're going to inevitably at some point see from Manchester United. We have to improve the physical aspect of the team, he says. He talked about non-negotiables as well, and thinking about the team is the most important thing. And he says, I know every trick. I know every trick. So if he sees things, shortcuts that the players are taking, this guy will spot them and eradicate them, hopefully. I mean, we'll see. Look, this is not a bona fide guaranteed success. We've been here with previous coaches, and we understand that, even as he's alluded to, that this is not guaranteed to work and it's a work in progress. But this guy has an individual idea of what he wants to do and an individual idea of how things are going to progress. So, and he will stick with it because he knows that is the reason why he's got this job in the first place. So one thing he says here, and this was in the Gary Neville part of the interview, he says, to be practical, when the ball is in one place, with or without the ball, every player has the same idea. When one guy has the ball between the lines, everyone knows what to do and has the same idea. So that there is an encapsulation of what I think will change. Maybe not straight away, but that is going to be one of the first things that is on Ruben Amorim's list to solve. Because United in possession for a long time have been either lump it forward as quickly as possible, try and find that killer pass as quickly as possible, or seem to make it up as they go along. And that's been one of the big criticisms, whereas there's other teams who know exactly what they're doing at any given point. And I'll repeat that again. When the ball is in one place, with or without the ball, every player has the same idea. This is his priority to get across. When one guy has the ball between the lines, everyone knows what to do and has the same idea. So it's about training the team, not only on the training pitch, but I'm guessing with a lot of sessions, talking about things and knowing where all these pieces fit in the 3-4-2-1 jigsaw, the principles remain the same. And no matter what system they end up playing, even though it probably will be that system, it's about teaching the right principles and about teaching the players that this is where you need to be at this time. When we have the ball in this area, this is what you do. When the opposition have the ball in this area, this is what you do. When we have the ball in the middle of the pitch, this is what we do. When this player has the ball between the lines, this is what we do. Every player should know what they're doing. And it's really, really exciting to see that somebody is communicating that straight off before we've even seen a ball kicked, not on a training pitch. And look, he's doubled down on it. I've said it a couple of times already. He would not be here if he hadn't succeeded at what he was doing previously. And is there any reason why that should change now? No. Ineos, Dan Ashworth, Brailsford, Jason Wilcox have looked at Omar Berada, have looked at what Ruben Amorim has been doing with Sporting over the past few years, and have literally, if you're watching me on video here, I'm motioning the action of me putting my hand down, plucking something out and dropping it in a different place. United have taken Ruben Amorim. They've taken a host of his coaching staff. And the idea will be, do what Sporting have been doing with this group of players, and we will fill in the gaps with recruitment in the future. This time now is about understanding the limitations of the players that they have. Now, there's been reports over the last week or so of a lack of money in January. This is no surprise to anybody, really. And to be honest, like, this is a habit United need to get out of anyway. Turning to the transfer window and thinking, yes, let's spend X amount of money on this player because he will fix that. Look, it's going to take Amorim probably longer than 6 weeks or 7 weeks or so to know whether the players that he has at his disposal are capable over a certain period of time to get what he's trying to do. And there will be some players who don't fit the system, and that's just the way it is. But I think it's a benefit to him that United have made signings over the summer. And look, he's come in with somebody else's group of players, and he will be measured on how quickly and how well he can get his system across to these players. And as I've just said it from the top, he's a really good communicator. So fingers crossed that can happen relatively quickly, even though we know there will be shortcomings with the likes of the fitness issues. Attitude is probably something that needs to change as well, in knowing that the team always comes first. It's a little criticism maybe that, you know, is that necessary at this point? Is it starting fresh? Well, no, I think it's a reality, really. Like, United have been in instances where they've depended on one player and one player's output around how successful the team is. And he will give the players every chance possible to try and show their best selves in whatever Ruben Amorim is trying to get across. He was asked questions in his pre-match press conference with the reporters. This lot just got the old manager sacked. Why would you trust them? And look, I understand that's a criticism as well that many people have had around, like, players getting other chances after cycling through a bunch of different managers. And maybe Marcus Rashford is one of those players. I've mentioned him twice already, but it's not my criticism of him. I'm just talking about what I think the feeling is and the vibe is around this player at the moment. I said the other day that I think he can maybe be used as a centre forward, and we'll see if he can be effectively used as a centre forward in this system. But every player is going to get a chance to show their best self. And if you apply yourself properly, you show yourself with the right attitude, you find that this is a plan that is working and you buy into it, then great. The only thing Amorim asked from the beginning is to have an open mind and to buy into what he's trying to do and fully commit to it with all of the energy that you have and all of the mindset that you have. He said, until they prove me wrong, I will believe in the players. And he was asked about whether there's certain players who might not want to play wing back in his system or something like that. And he responded with, look, I think everybody just wants to play from the outset, but in the future that we will see, look, everybody wants to play to the point that they'll probably play in goal just for the fact that they could play. And maybe that is a little bit of new guy bounce, but eventually if somebody plays at right wing back and they feel like it doesn't suit them and it's not the right decision in the long term, then maybe that is a position that we'll be upgraded and that player will leave or something like that. Or they find another place in the team where they can operate best. But it seems like there's a lot of joined up thinking between Amorim, Ashworth, Berada and Wilcox. And he name dropped all of those in his interview with Gary Neville. Talked about Dave Brailsford as well. The culture is another thing that I wanted to come to. So he said, and he, as I say, he named them, each of them. And he said, Dave is known to create cultures that win, talking about Dave Brailsford, from other sports. But it seems like he's talked to Ratcliffe, he's talked to Brailsford, he's talked to Ashworth, he's talked to Wilcox, he's talked to Berada. This seems like a team of people that are on the same page above the football team for the first time. And that is the exciting part of this. It seems like decisions that they will take will be joined up. And as much as he was pressed on, will you be signing the players, Ruben? Will you be signing the players? No, it's a team thing. But if there's a player that I don't like, or I don't feel like suits me based on what I've seen, I will say as the head coach that I don't think this is the right move. And it should come together. It should come together. Rather than having a manager go back to his old club and signing six or seven of those players at massive, massive expense, 300, 400 million plus. You know, it's really important that they have, A, from the beginning, people in charge of the team that prioritize winning to start with. Dave Brailsford and Jim Ratcliffe want that to happen. They have then gone and employed a new layer of people underneath them who are best in class, use that word a lot, that have proven elsewhere that they can run an organization and a football team that wins matches because they'll put the best people in place to make that happen. They'll sign the right players to make that happen. They'll find the right head coach to make that happen. And Ruben Amorim is the guy that they've chosen. So just going back to the culture aspect of it, and to talk about the data, he says, it has to be all together. We have to improve the process of recruitment, data, and profiling of the players that we want. I have to have a strong position on that because I'm the coach. And data is something that has cropped up so frequently. Physical data that every position demands. That is the kind of thing that United will be looking to improve moving forward. And if there's some players in there that maybe don't hit the data marks that they want, even if they're maybe a fan favorite or whatever, it seems like they'll make the cold-hearted decision to make that change because everything, or a lot, is going to be based on the data that they see. Tie that in with having people there, maybe from other sports, who know how to create cultures that win. Like I say, that Dave Brailsford, that's what you mentioned about Dave Brailsford. And maybe we have a recipe for something better than what we've seen over the past 12 years, because it's been disjointed. We've had bankers in CEO jobs. We've had inexperienced head coaches leading the team. And look, I'm talking about Ollie there, and he's a big favorite and that. But, you know, it seems like now United have installed a structure of best people in place to bring success back to the club. And I'm not saying it's going to happen overnight, but this is as good as I felt around the structure of the team ever since Ferguson and Gill. Seems like they've taken the right decisions, as hard as they might be, as expensive as they might be, to get to this point. And this is the fresh starting point. The culture aspect is something else that I just wanted to touch on just before I wrap up. And talking about the holiday that Marcus Rashford and Casemiro had. Gary Neville asked him this question. He said it was a big criticism that he had of Rashford and Casemiro to go on a holiday abroad in a different time zone when a new manager's coming in, you're 13th in the league and this kind of thing. And obviously, Gary Neville's got his own podcast. You have to make noise on it. You have to go and say something big at a time where your interest in football, my interest in football, looks good as Wales playing great, by the way. I'm not saying my interest in football just completely went over the past few days, but you take a step back in these international breaks. You detach a little bit. And then, hey, if you've got to keep a podcast going, then let's say something that is going to end up getting clicks because there's nothing else to talk about. That's not the way that I try and operate. But obviously, if you got these metrics to hit, then you got to have your say. And talking about Man United, Marcus Rashford and Casemiro is going to drive a narrative when there's nothing else going on. So, look, I understand that this is a point of debate. But the way that Amorim dealt with it was fantastic. Absolutely fantastic. Neville asked him, and he said, look, the 5 days, because the players had 5 days off and they choose what they want to do with it. The 5 days off is too much for me, but that's on the club and the standards. It's not the players' fault. So I agree. It's not the players' fault. It's not like they're making this decision to, you know, take away from their own ability to contribute on the football pitch. But Amorim was quick to point out, and this ties back into the cultural element here, he was quick to point out that that is the club's decision to give them 5 days off in the first place and not set the standards of what you can and can't do on your days off. As professional athletes, look, if you're in any job anywhere, really, can your employer tell you what to do on your day off? Well, acting professionally is something that you should maintain like a lot of the time, especially if you're a footballer. Acting professionally, taking care of your body, this kind of thing is really important, but having that mental break is just as important sometimes as the physical break. So, look, you can understand why Casemiro and Marcus Rashford have gone over there. You can understand why it's going to get heat because United are 13th in the Premier League. And if they were first in the Premier League, maybe this wouldn't be such a big issue. But the way that Amorim dealt with it and what he said about it is exactly why I think that this is going to go better than it has previously, because he gets it. He understands that the club have to improve. And it's not only him. It's not only the players. It's the club. It's the decision-making. It's the processes that have to improve. And he said, look, 5 days off is too much for me because I feel like after 3 days, you kind of lose your physical rhythm a little bit and then you have to jump back into it. So 5 days off, maybe that's something that he won't implement when he's in. But the club sets the standards. The club says and dictates, please don't travel in season. Because, look, yeah, if that was me, look, I know how knackered I get after a trip abroad for a few days. I know how my sleep is affected, this kind of thing. These guys are professional athletes. They have to be optimized, like, to the nth degree. But no, it's probably not the best thing to do. But if your club and the people in charge of you and your employers aren't setting the standards to make sure that they are taking the best care of you, then that's on them. It's not the player's fault at all. I completely agree with him. It's the right approach to take. And look, if you haven't watched them, and maybe, look, I'm recording this at 3-ish, 4-ish on the Friday, so maybe you get to this before you've even seen it. But see what Ruben Amorim says to the press. Watch the interview with Gary Neville, I will say, because I think you get a real good idea of how he's communicating, what his ideas are, what things are going to look like moving forward with him in charge there. And look, this is just my take on everything that he said. Been a little bit jumbled and all over the place, but done my best because I've got to rush out because I've got a dinner that I've got to go to. But it's I just wanted to come and say it's been difficult for a while to follow this football club, but fingers crossed, this is the time that it changes. And everything that I've seen from this guy so far and everything that he's saying about culture, about data, about physicality, about attitude, really hits on the head of what needs to happen and what needs to be fixed at United. So Ruben Amorim is in. We'll see what he's going to do. And we know he's going to do. He's probably going to play back three at Ipswich on Sunday. And I'll be back to talk about whatever happens on the pitch and like break it down shortly after it. But look, very, very exciting times. New guy is in place. He's a really good talker, great charisma, big aura, and it's the Ruben Amorim era beginning now. I've been Scott Saunders from the Promised Land podcast. Thank you for watching. Thanks for listening as well on Apple and Spotify. Please subscribe on all channels, Apple, Spotify, and YouTube for video as well. And follow me on social media at @_ScottSaunders on X, Instagram, and TikTok, and also on Blue Sky as well. There's a link in the description of this show. Please subscribe to the channel, and I'll see you soon, everyone, because the football is back, and we're entering the really, really busy period where there's a game every 3 days. So things are going to ramp up a good few notches, and United are in place with a new head coach, Ruben Amorim. So thanks, everyone, for listening and for watching. Until next time, see you soon for another Promised Land.
Ohio football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown, and he throws an awesome block so his teammate can score instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you another chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scorer scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. Everyone knows the most exciting part of football is the score. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you have a chance to keep the fun going even after the first player crosses the goal line. Plus, you can enjoy second chance all season long. Place a first TD scorer wager today. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Attention, everyone. Wayfair's Black Friday preview sale is here early. Right now, score up to 70% off everything home at Wayfair. Shipped in time for the holidays. Shop early Black Friday deals now at Wayfair.com.
Wayfair. Every style, every home.